This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM. To discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
And beginning the farm show on this Friday morning, the DTN general opening call. Expect corn to open 3 to 5 higher, beans steady to a penny lower, and wheat a penny or two lower. The overnight crude oil market was 49 cents higher at $100.19. Brent crude 61 cents higher at $111.40. The February gold contract $2.60 lower at $1,724.10. The U.S. dollar index 0.247 lower at 79.148. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 653.5. That was up 12.25. May wheat closed at 666.75. That was up 10.5. July wheat closed at 680. That was up 8.75. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 634.5, unchanged. May corn closed at 640. That was down 0.25. July corn closed at 643.75, down 0.25. March soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1222.75, up 9.25. May beans closed at 1232, up 9.25. July beans closed at 1241.75, up 9.25. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 323.60, up 25. May meal closed at 325.40, up 21. July meal closed at 327.80, that was up 19 cents. March soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 51.94, up 55. May oil closed at 52.37, up 55. July oil closed at 52.78, up 54. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade closed at $3.75, up 2.5. May oats closed at 302.75. That was up 3 cents. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kinder grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon, but mostly higher. Stronger outside markets and the lower value of the U.S. dollar supported higher values for soybeans and wheat. In central Illinois, Kinder grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 627 to 642, and soybeans gained 6 to 9 cents at 1196 to 1212. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids ended steady to a penny lower at 633 to 657. Soybeans advanced 9 to 10 cents at 1205 to 1228, and the wheat bids mostly 8 to 13 cents higher at 643 to 655. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported corn bids steady to 1 cent lower at 633 to 637. Soybeans mostly 6 to 10 cents stronger at 1207 to 1212. And the wheat prices ended 12 to 13 higher on Thursday, ranged from 649 to 654. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mostly 2 to 5 cents lower at 638 to 645. Soybeans gained 3 to 7 cents at 1219 to 1225. And the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery 8 to 9 cents higher at 645 to 661. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to 3 cents lower at 661 to 665. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 3 to 9 cents with quotations at 1241 to 1245. Soft red winter wheat gained 12 cents, ranged from 674 to 675, and the Milo ended a penny higher at 634 to 635. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 85.95, down 67. April hogs closed at 86.80, down 142. May hogs closed at 95.40, down $1.10. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 124.55, down 130. April cattle closed at 128.05, down 112. June cattle closed at 126.50, down $1. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 153, that was up 47. March feeders closed at 153.62, down $1.37. April feeders closed at 155.92, that was down 92 cents. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
450 to 550 pounds at 53 to 58, over 550 pounds at 55 to 60. Today's estimated receipts, 875, and Wednesday's actuals, 1,175. Pork carcass cutout, 83.29, that is down 88 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 422,000. Last week, 424,000. A year ago, 421,000. Week to date of 1,702,000. Cattle today, 121,000. Last week, 119,000. A year ago, 128,000. Week to date of 490,000. Box beef cutout values were steady to firm on light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 124 fabulas and 53 trim. Choice, 184.62, down 23 cents. Select at 179.87, and that is up 46 cents. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, 696 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers a dollar higher. Feeder cattle traded unevenly steady, with slaughter cows and bulls not reported. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, traded at 126 to 131 and a half. 133 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 120 and a half to 124 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 115 to 120 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s at 107 and a half to 114 and a half. Slaughter heifers, choice 2s to 3s, traded at 127 to 132 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 121 to 125. Return to farm calves, Holstein males weighing between 75 and 100 pounds, traded anywhere from $95 to $240 a head. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones, package averaging 736 pounds, value added at $135. Medium and large ones and twos, a package averaging 878 pounds, value added at $120.50. Holstein steers, large frame number threes, weighing 450 to 500 pounds, traded from 80 to 86, and 600 to 700 pounds, traded from 90 to 92. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 350 to 400 pounds, traded at 156 to 163. Part load averaging 599 pounds, value added at 147.75. Medium and large ones and twos, package averaging 490 pounds, value added at 155.5, a package averaging 638 pounds, value added at 133.5, and a package averaging 774 pounds, value added at 122. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, January Class 3 milk closed at $17.09 unchanged. February milk, $16.58 unchanged. March milk at $16.81, down 4. January butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $157.75, up 1.75. February butter closed at 154, up 1, and March butter closed at 157.75. That was unchanged. January non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 140.75, unchanged. For February, 137.5, down a quarter, and for March, 137. Spot prices for Class 3 milk, $18.77 for butter, $155.5 down a half, and for non-fat dry milk, $145. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.43. For February, $6.39. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.35. For February, $6.32. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $12.03. For February, $12.02. Wheat delivered to Scottville for January, $6.27. For more information or to confirm the bids, contact Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices, once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.43. Corn at Scottville, $6.35. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $12.03, wheat at Scottville, $6.27. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar showing no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
It's time to think about your lawn and what you can do to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood. M&M Service Company carries a full line of green yard, lawn fertilizer, seed, and chemicals. They will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications and treatments. Talk to Tim Rothy, turf specialist at M&M Service Company, for a seed, fertilizer, and chemical program for your lawn. Call him at 1-800-962-7331. M&M Service, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies across mid-Illinois for your Friday. High temperatures in the low 40s and light northwest winds. Tonight, cloudy skies with a chance of rain or snow. Low temperatures in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, Saturday, we will have sunny skies, a high temperature in the low 40s. Your extended weather forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and warmer. Low temperatures in the upper 30s, highs in the low 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, west winds at 7 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising. Once again, cloudy skies, 33 degrees on this Friday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Attention toy collectors, don't miss the 31st Annual Gateway Mid-America Toy Show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, February 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Sheraton Chalet Hotel at Westport Plaza in St. Louis. Find over 250 dealers buying and selling farm toys, trucks, construction, and NASCAR toys from their rooms, along with 200 exhibitor tables and 7 exposition rooms. On Saturday, attend the Toy Consignment Auction hosted by Mark Krause Auctions, plus enjoy the Hall of Fame Model and Display Contest at noon. Register for the pedal tractor drawing on Sunday. Visit GatewayToyShow.com for more info.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Here are the numbers from the Greenville Livestock Auction yesterday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a half a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers sold about a dollar higher. Feeder cattle traded unevenly steady. Slaughter cows and slaughter bulls were not reported. Slaughter steers accounted for about 14% of the total run. Slaughter Holstein steers about 16%. Slaughter heifers 8%. Bred cows and cow-calf pairs about 4%. Feeder cattle accounted for 58% of the total run at Greenville yesterday. And in that feeder cattle supply, steers accounted for about 16%. Holstein steers 8%. Heifers 60%. Bulls 16%. And feeders over 600 pounds accounted for about 32% of the total run yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction. All classes of sheep and goats lightly tested for the past several weeks, not enough for an accurate market comparison, but there was very good demand noted in slaughter lambs and slaughter kids. Slaughter lambs accounted for about 45% of the total run, slaughter ewes about 17%, slaughter kids 14%, slaughter nannies about 9%, and other goats about 17% of the total run at the Greenville Livestock Auction yesterday. In other farm news this morning, Illinois pork, poultry, and dairy farmers have an opportunity to learn more about turning manure waste into energy at a free workshop. It will be held on Thursday, February the 9th, from 8:15 until 2 at the Keller Conference Center in Effingham. To educate producers on the possibilities and benefits of this form of renewable energy, the Shelby Electric Cooperative, Norris Electric Co-op, Coles Moultrie Electric Co-op, and the Clay Electric Cooperative are co-sponsoring the seminar, along with the Farm Bureau, the Illinois Pork Producers, and the EPA, the U.S. Department of Energy's Midwest Clean Energy Application Center, and other organizations. The workshop will present strategies and steps to develop successful anaerobic digestion projects. For more information, you can go to MidwestCleanEnergyCenter.org. The Illinois Department of Agriculture Acting Director H.W. Devlin invites Illinois corn producers to submit their views and opinions on a proposed corn checkoff referendum at a public hearing. This will be held on February the 21st. The Illinois Corn Marketing Board is proposing to enhance marketing and promotion of corn by increasing the checkoff amount by a quarter cent per bushel. This would increase the current 3/8 of a cent voluntary checkoff rate to 5/8 of a cent per bushel. Growers would still have the right to a refund. The public hearing will begin at 10 o'clock in room 66 of the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Administration Building on the fairgrounds in Springfield. And once again, that hearing will be held February the 21st, once again starting at 10 in room 66 of the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Administration Building on the fairgrounds in Springfield. Persons unable to attend the hearing can submit written comments by February the 17th. They should be addressed to the Director of Agriculture, Post Office Box 19281, Springfield, the zip 62794. The American Soybean Association President Steve Wellman talks to Cassandra Langle about a possible trade agreement with the European Union.
Last year, President Obama, along with the presidents of the European Council and European Commission, announced the Transatlantic Economic Council, which is being directed to establish a joint working group charged with exploring options to generate jobs and economic growth, as well as increasing competitiveness. So included in these options is a possibility of negotiating a United States-European Union free trade agreement, which the American Soybean Association strongly supports.
Although the idea of an FTA between the two major trading partners has been raised in the past, it has never truly been given serious consideration.
Carried out properly, a free trade agreement between the United States and European Union would generate economic growth and create thousands of new jobs on both sides of the Atlantic. This would require that the European Union be prepared to negotiate and implement a high-standard 21st century agreement. Previous free trade agreements negotiated by the EU with other countries don't necessarily meet those standards. They are, in reality, preferential trade agreements containing widespread exceptions. European Union regulatory measures often conflict with both the United States' interests and WTO rules. Some examples are restrictive biotech approvals and labeling regulations that restrict the United States corn, soybean, and refined corn product exports.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation is a high-standard negotiation that aims at achieving a comprehensive agreement, providing market access in all sectors. This should serve as the template for a U.S.-EU FTA.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation that's going on now should serve as the template for a U.S.-EU free trade agreement. This would help ensure that United States trade policy remains on the right path. Any suggestion that an agreement might cover only selected sectors should not be taken seriously. To do so would undermine current U.S. efforts in the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, as well as with respect to the obligations of new members.
This report is brought to you by the American Soybean Association. I'm Cassandra Langley in St. Louis.
The United Soybean Board and Soybean Checkoff funded a study that shows the condition of America's locks and dams could be a ticking time bomb for agriculture. The study discovered American farmers and consumers could be hurt in the pocketbook big time if the U.S. locks and dams continue to deteriorate. More than half of the structures that currently make up the U.S. inland waterway system for barge shipping have exceeded their 50-year lifespan. United Soybean Board Global Opportunities Program Chair Laura Fole, an Iowa soybean farmer, says it takes a lot of money to upgrade locks and dams more than 50 years old so they remain usable until they are 70 years old. Ms. Fole says that 89% of U.S. soybeans exported through lower Mississippi River ports pass through locks on their way downriver.
So we needed to have an analysis of what the impact would be on our aging lock and dam system, because it's deteriorating, and with the deterioration of the lock and dam system, it's putting added pressure on the rail and highway system to move our product from the farm to its destination, whether it's here in the United States or in the export channel.
The study focused on the condition of locks on the Upper Mississippi River, the Illinois River, and the Ohio River. Ms. Fole says the study shows the country's rail system will be operating above capacity and highway infrastructure will be stressed by extra truck traffic if the lock and dam system deteriorates beyond the ability to operate. Ms. Fole says this should be a concern to farmers because of the added costs.
U.S. farmers really need to understand that we can produce all the commodities that we want, but unless we have the infrastructure to ship those products, we will not be successful in feeding our country and the world. We'll be losing our market share of our industry to other countries. But we're not just talking about shipping our final products on through the lock and dam system. We also get inputs that come up through the lock and dam system. And the study showed that this would add approximately $8 a ton to some of our input costs, and energy costs would also increase.
That means in the span of a three-month lock closure, the cost of transporting 5.5 million tons of oil seeds and grain, the average ship during that period, would increase by $71.6 million, potentially resulting in up to $45 million in lost revenue for U.S. farmers. Costs would also increase for fertilizer, which depends on upriver barge shipping.
People think, okay, so what if the lock is down? We'll just ship by truck or rail. Barge is the cheapest form of transportation, followed by rail and truck. Through this study, we're finding that the number of rail miles has decreased by 50,000 miles since 1980, and the number of cars on the rails has dropped by 18%. And then when we talk about trucking, if the lock and dam barge system goes down, one-fourth of our bridges are now determined to be structurally deficient, and we're not getting enough federal funding that is sufficient to improve and upgrade our highway system.
The United Soybean Board and the rest of the Soy Transportation Coalition plan to examine possible new ways to fund what can be multi-million and multi-year repairs of the nation's lock and dam system. Although it's only January, there are already hints that presidential politics and competition for control of Congress may delay the heavy legislative lifting, including entitlement and tax reform and deficit reduction, until after the November elections. But at least on the budget, Washington may still go through the motions. The Obama administration is expected to unveil its budget on February 12th. Congress is supposed to complete a budget by spring, but lately the Senate and House have not been able to agree on a budget. Even if a budget does not come together, former House Ag Committee Chairman Larry Combest says we can still measure whether policymakers are being serious about fiscal responsibility by what they propose. Mr. Combest says if a budget ignores big-ticket items such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense, but takes aim at rural America and farm policy, you have the right to be skeptical.
Well, let me explain in plain terms what a joke this is. Imagine that you and a coworker are in the moving business, and you have three jobs to do. The first job is to drive from Key West, Florida to Anchorage, Alaska, back to Key West, and then back to Anchorage. That's a long haul, and it's the amount of our national debt if $1 trillion is converted into 1,000 miles. The second job involves you driving from Key West to a small town called Delta in British Columbia in far western Canada, also a long haul. That's our annual budget converted into miles. And the third involves you driving from Key West to Eddyville, Kentucky. That's our annual deficit converted into miles. Now imagine that your coworker is offering to split the driving for each of the three-way trips this way. He will leave and drive for less than 14 miles from Key West, and you get to drive all the rest of the way. And his less than 14-mile drive he proposes to cover is equivalent of eliminating all the farm policy against this year's debt, this year's budget, and this year's deficit. Obviously, if a coworker pulled this stunt on you in real life, you would be tempted to think all he really wants to do is draw salary and laugh at you while you do all the work to get the goods delivered. So when a politician tells you he's going to solve this country's budget problems on the back of rural America, you might want to tell him to take a hike.
The Farm Service Agency county office employees are asking Congress to review USDA's plan to close 259 offices, of which 131 are county FSA locations. Stuart Doan of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters reports.
National Association of County Office Employees President John Lohr complains in a letter to key Capitol Hill ag leaders that the office closing proposal was developed without stakeholder input and would have a disproportionate impact on FSA. In an interview, Lohr said the proposal itself was not a surprise.
We've known for months that the state directors have provided information to the secretary and expected an announcement. Probably the one surprise we did have or are having as we sort through this is the fact that it appears like FSA offices are being targeted, but some of our sister agencies don't seem to be going through the same process.
Laura encouraged farmers and ranchers to contact USDA and ask that any plan to reduce the number of county offices be put on hold until a complete top-down approach be taken to identify possible budget savings. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
A few reminders on this Friday morning. On the Farm Show Saturday, our guest is Debbie Nunley of Mount Olive. Last week, we featured Gabriel Thompson of the Department of the Interior on a horse and burro adoption that will be held February 17th and 18th in Jackson, Missouri. Ms. Nunley heard the program and talks to us about a horse she adopted through that program. The Farm Show will be heard Saturday morning about 6:15, Saturday afternoon about 12:45. On both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. A federal judge in Nevada has rejected another attempt by horse protection advocates to block government roundups of free-roaming Mustangs in the West. U.S. District Judge Howard McKibben granted a temporary restraining order last fall that cut short a Nevada roundup after he determined a helicopter flew too close to a horse in violation of the law. But he said during a hearing in Reno Thursday, he denied a new injunction request, partly because the Bureau of Land Management has made some positive changes. He also told leaders of the Texas-based Free Wild Horse Federation he does not have the ability or authority to police every roundup in the country. He says if the horses need more protection, the group will have to take it up with Congress. The Madison County Fair Association is hosting their first annual Chicken and Beer Dance fundraiser. It will be held Saturday, February the 25th at the Madison County Fairgrounds Expo Hall in Highland. Tickets are available at the Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust of Highland, Oberbeck Grain, the Bank of Edwardsville Highland Branch, Hamel Co-op Grain, and Willis Insurance of Troy. For more information, you can phone the fair office at 618-654-6656 and leave a message, or go to madcofair@gmail.com. Once again, the DTN general opening call for today, corn 3 to 5 higher later. Soybeans expected to open steady to a penny lower, wheat about a penny or two lower. The overnight crude oil market 49 cents higher at $100.19, Brent crude 61 cents higher at $111.40. And the February gold contract, $2.60 lower at $1,724.10. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Friday morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, and by the Litchfield National Bank.